Some of the people of Jerusalem therefore said, "Is not this the man whom they seek to kill? And here he is speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Can it be that the authorities really know that this is the Christ? But we know where this man comes from, and when the Christ appears, no one will know where he comes from. What does he mean by saying, 'You will seek me and you will not find me,' and 'Where I am, you cannot come'? Is the Christ to come from Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David was? Have you also been deceived? Have any of the authorities or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed."
Good morning. I just want to take a few moments before we get started to encourage you to share this, whether you're on Facebook or YouTube. Get the link, text it out, email, call somebody, share what we're doing, what we're sharing right now. Call somebody, FaceTime them if you're super tech savvy, and use this time as a way to shorten the distance between those that we love and care for. For those of you that don't know, and I'm assuming there may be some people out there who've never met me, I'm Gabe Hernandez, and I'm a community pastor with Altitude Church in Arvada. It's a role that I recently stepped into, and in the last couple of months of trying to figure it out, I never expected that I'd be doing this, that my community pastoring would be via technology. Share a little bit about myself so that you can get kind of an understanding of where my heart's at. I'm a person who loves people. I love meeting new people. I love engaging in conversations, whether they're contrary to what I believe or they affirm where I stand. I always try to remain open in order to have a conversation and learn. I love strengthening existing relationships. So in a time like this, for a person like me, I'm really struggling not having that community around. And I don't know if you are. Maybe you're an introvert and you want to hang out and not really deal with stuff. But for me, I'm really struggling. This is a new thing for me, as I'm sure it is for everybody. We're going to have to make a lot of decisions, a lot of choices, a lot of sacrifices in the coming weeks and months. And I know that we're all going to struggle. I know that I've been struggling these last few weeks. One of the main things is, what do I actually believe? What's really going on here? How do I protect my family and the ones that I love and care for? How can others be so selfish? What's life going to look like after this? And will there be an after this? I mean, those are legitimate questions that I'm asking myself and questions that other people are asking me, and I don't have the answers to them right now. The one thing that I see is that unification and division are equally present right now. Not one greater than the other, but just coexisting. There are people that are coming together in great ways, and there are people that are dividing themselves, ourselves, in very sad ways. But one thing that remains true, that I know and I believe in my heart, that what unites us is stronger than what tears us apart. It's humanity. It's the decision to love and care for one another, not the latter. This week, I've realized I've seen self-preservation rear its ugly head, and even in my heart, if it wasn't for constant checking in with people that I respect and I love, this would be a really hard time for me. But also, the social media presence, the memes, the jokes that are kind of coming out, you got to have a soft heart when looking at some of those. I think my favorite is not to make fun of the cancer ribbon, but there's a toilet paper ribbon, and I think it's because of just the craziness that's going on. Like, what are we going to be remembered for after this? The great toilet paper run of 2020. The 2 hours that Colorado had prohibition put in place. You know, the time slots that are being set aside for elderly and disabled people. I mean, what are we going to be remembered for when this time's over? I hope it's not that saddening. I hope it's not that depressing. I hope that we have something to truly celebrate. You know, my mom had a saying when I was growing up for years. A lot of sayings. My mom was a real old soul, and I feel myself as an old soul as well. And she would say, "You have to laugh to keep from crying." I heard that every time something was hard. Every time something was bad or something felt unfair, or when things were just downright unbearable, she'd say, "Gabe, you have to laugh to keep from crying." And I remember one day I heard it and things were just so hard, I had to ask my mom. I said, "Mom, what if I can't laugh anymore?" And she said, "Then cry." You know, the sadness has been sinking inside of me for a while, and it's one of the things I struggle with a lot is anxiety and depression. There'll be times that I'm at home and I'll be walking around and I'll just tell my wife, like, you know, "Babe, I feel like crying," and she'll say, "Well, then cry." And I don't want to do it because I think I'm not being a man and I'm not being strong. And so I'll find these venues, I'll find these outlets, I'll find these opportunities to let a couple of tears out until I feel better. You know, here's some things that I've caught myself doing lately that I don't know, maybe you can relate with. Maybe you're going to think I'm crazy. But I've been listening to parts of songs that used to make me cry. I mean, what am I, 15? Gosh, I mean, everybody's got it. There's that certain song that there's just that part, man, that just pulls on your heartstring. And it's like, man, I remember the moment I heard that and the moment that it made sense. And it just brings up an emotion inside of you. Movies, for me, is another thing. I got a handful of movies I can name off right now that I don't know what it is. However, it was put together. It just makes me tear up. The one I'm thinking about the most right now is The Last Samurai. And so, spoiler alert, if you have not seen that yet, you might want to stop for a minute and then come back because I'm going to tell the ending. But it's very powerful. It's Tom Cruise at the end, and there's like this Japanese emperor, and Tom Cruise is kneeling down, and he's got this sword, and he's handing it to the emperor, and he's telling him, man, he's like, "If you think I'm your enemy, then take my life." And I'm thinking, man, dude, this is a sacrifice. Because the general of the samurais, or sorry, the head samurai guy, that shows you how much I know, right? That guy gave his life up defending. And the emperor asks Tom Cruise, he says, "Will you tell me how he died?" And Tom Cruise looks up to him, he says, "I'll do better. I'll tell you how he lived." And that part, I don't know what it is, man. It tugs at my heartstrings. One of the other things is any Facebook video that has like a soldier returning home. Oh my gosh, man. I tell you what, man, them jumping out of a box and the kid grabs him around the neck and says, "Daddy," you know, it's like, man, I'm telling you, if I want instant tears, man, turned on, all I got to do is go Google that and find it. And, you know, I don't know what it is. You probably think I'm a weirdo, man. Why would I purposely want to cry? But, you know, again, it's like I just find myself at times saddened by the things that I do in my head and in my heart and with my hands. And even more saddened with what I see happening out in the community. You know, I feel like we hold things in for far too long. And if we don't manage at that moment, if I don't manage where I'm at right now and how I'm feeling, then I feel that, and I know through experiences, that I will make the wrong choice later. It's like what Pastor Lee's been saying for the last couple of weeks. It's like, what are you marinating in? Because if you're marinating in sadness, when it comes time to be used and utilized, that's what you're going to look like. That is what you are going to exhibit. That's what's going to exude from you. Like, that is it. But if you're marinating in happiness, if you're marinating in joy, if you're marinating in these things that are contrary to sadness, then that's what people are going to see in you, and it's going to be genuine. It's not going to be forced or faked. So what you're marinating in shows. Well, I want to get into the Word of God. And so I'm going to be reading from the book of John. We're continuing on chapter 7, and I'm jumping on the next part of verses that Pastor Lee left on. So it'll be John chapter 7, verses 40 through 52 in the CSB version. And the Word of God says this: "When some of the crowd heard these words, they said, 'Truly this is the prophet.' Others said, 'This is the Messiah.' But some said, 'Surely the Messiah doesn't come from Galilee, does he? Doesn't the scriptures say that the Messiah comes from David's offspring and from the town of Bethlehem where David lived?' So the crowd was divided because of him. Some of them wanted to seize him, but none of them laid hands on him. Then the servants came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who asked them, 'Why didn't you bring him?' The servants answered, "No man ever spoke like this." The Pharisees responded to them, "Are you fooled too? Have any of the rulers or Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd, which does not know the law, is accursed." Nicodemus, the one who came to him previously, and who was one of them, said to them, "Our law doesn't judge a man before it hears from him and knows what he is doing, does it? You aren't from Galilee too, are you?" They replied, "Investigate and you will see that no prophet arises from Galilee." You know, we're looking at the division of a crowd over statements made by Jesus in the previous verses. Pastor Lee again shared last week about the celebration that was taking place. They were reliving the moment that they were brought out of exile. 40 years of being without anything, and we're, you know, here we are struggling with a 2 to 3 week lockdown, but 40 years of struggling, 40 years of seeing death and persecution and being on their knees in prayer and asking God, "Where are you, God? We need you." And they're celebrating this moment, and it's a grand spectacle that's going on. And what does Jesus do? In fine Jesus style, stands up and says something earth-shattering, says something that just, people don't know what to do. I mean, we see these groups of people that are divided in this moment, like, man, he's this, he's that. And this is what Jesus says, just to go back a couple of verses. "If anyone is thirsty, then let him come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow deep from within him." Mic drop. Record scratch. I can imagine absolute silence, man. Can you imagine just the craziest spectacle going on? Going to a football game, going to a baseball game, you know, whatever. Being in a crowd, being at a party, and somebody saying something, and everybody just stopping and listening, and then turning around and saying what they thought about it. Let's take a look at the responses from the crowds. I have it broken down into three groups that are mentioned. I see that there's some, there's others, and the third group I'm going to call the butt-sums, because butt-some did this, not B-U-T-T, B-U-T, right? So some of the crowd was like, man, this is truly a prophet. This is a guy that came from God. The others were like, man, this is the Messiah, man. This is God. The butt-sums were like, yeah, these were the guys who had way too much information. They were like, surely the Messiah doesn't come from Galilee. He's got to be an imposter. These sums, they accepted what was going on. They believed that Jesus was someone, that he was a prophet, that he was a man of God, that he was declaring God's word, but not necessarily God himself. The others were affirmed. They were like, man, they recognized who Jesus really was because they saw what he was doing, they heard what he was saying, and everything was matching up with what they've been waiting for, the Messiah. And only Christ could make such statements and claims and do such deeds and wonders. The butt-sums were appalled. They were just not convinced. They were mocking. Doesn't Scripture say? These people were way too informed or too misinformed, however you want to put it, and they were looking for something different anyways. That kind of sums up what the consensus has been for the last 200 years. There are people that have had way too much information or been misinformed. There have been others who are like, okay, it's just enough that I can handle. And still, there are others who have been like, this is absolutely what we've been waiting for. This is either God, this is an imposter, or he's just from God. Jesus is standing in the midst of a great celebration of overcoming hardship and declaring that he is the one that satisfies the hearts and souls. We need to be looking at that very closely right now, because in this time of sadness, in this time of distance, in this time of seclusion, again, what is it that we're marinating our hearts in? What is it that we're marinating ourselves in? If we're not marinating ourselves in the hope that Jesus, in the midst of hardship, is saying, I'm the one you need to come to, then we're going to totally miss the point. You know, I'm not shocked when I read this. The same thing's been happening for years, 2,000 years, 2,020 years, however long it's been. It's always the three groups, that are ever present. You know, we have people all over this world where the jury is still out on Jesus. There are many people that have already passed judgment and made decisions about Jesus. And still, in the midst of everything that they've seen, all the, you know, there's just too many people that are on the fence or in between. And he's still standing in the midst of the celebration of times of uncertainty and saying, I'm enough. I'm absolutely enough. We see this particular crowd was so divided that they couldn't even decide whether or not to grab him or not. The word says, like, the crowd was so divided because of them. Some of them wanted to seize him, but nobody laid hands on him. See, they had an agenda. These people showed up with an agenda, and I feel that we're going to see that. We're going to see some of that in the coming weeks, and I'll touch on that with a separate video. But nobody touched him. And this is where we're at right now. This is that ouch moment that I like to deliver. I like to say is like, I don't care whether or not you've been in church your whole life or you've never stepped foot in one. As a result of being divided, we're seeing that nobody is touching Jesus, that nobody is being moved, and people are thirsty. And he's still saying the same thing. I am enough. I'm what's going to quell that thirst. We see in verses 45 through 52 is that Jesus is not around in this next part of the account. I don't know where he went. I don't know what he's doing. Again, I like to say he was doing some Jesus-y stuff. But I know that the first thing that is said in his absence is, why did you not bring him? The religious leaders wanted to question this man, this prophet or Messiah or profane person. They wanted him to answer for all his disruption, and that's what they were looking at. Like, this guy is disrupting what's going on. He's getting a following. He's got a movement going, and it's outside of what we think is right. And essentially what it was is, if Jesus is that powerful, then we're going to lose our power. And I think that's something we really need to think about right now. Is that right now, some of us are feeling pretty powerless. Where things are being imposed on us, we're in this panic, and you know what, man, Jesus is the power. Jesus is what we need to get through. These people expected to have Jesus' hand delivered over to him, and the servant's response, they were sent out to do something, and they came back with nothing more than an excuse. But it's probably one of the greatest excuses I've ever read in my life. No one has ever spoke like this. Nobody has had the audacity. Nobody's had the experiences to back it up. The group consensus was this. They were divided, but there was no doubt that anyone had ever spoken like him. The religious leaders stand and say, are you fooled? Have you seen us follow that way? Aren't we the ones that should be able to know when the Messiah has come? Look at you fools. Look at what's going on. Have you seen any of us believe in him? But this crowd, and this is what they're saying to their very own people, but this crowd, you unlearned, uneducated, misinformed people, you're cursed. Essentially, you're doomed in what you believe in, and your fate is sealed. And I'm seeing a lot of that right now. I'm having a lot of good conversations with people. Maybe I shouldn't say good. I'm having some really hard conversations with people that are saying that because people believe in God, that there's carelessness. I mean, I think the very fact that we're doing this video right now and we're not meeting and we're abiding by all the sanctions that have been put in place really show that we, you know, maybe I shouldn't go on that. But yeah, I've had a lot of people really look at me and say, you know what, do you really believe that God's going to save you? And I can tell you in my heart this morning, because I'm prayed up, and I can tell you in my heart this morning because I'm excited about what the Word says right now, that I'm in the 90 percentile, man. I'm hoping. I'm wanting to believe that God is enough. But my humanity and my fear and my sadness sometimes get a hold of me. And I'm hoping that's not the case for you, and I'm hoping that you utilize any resource that's around, any resource that we're putting out or other churches are putting out, and I hope that you're able to escape from that and not be marinating in that. What we see in the last part of the scripture, to get back to it, is that this guy Nicodemus is coming back in, and if you're a Bible reader, you can go to John chapter 3 and get an idea of Nicodemus. He was once one of these people, once one of these religious leaders that was sitting back and pointing the finger at Jesus until one night he decided to sneak over and see what Jesus was about. And what Jesus said to him basically blew his mind. The way that this crowd got their mind blown was like, no one has ever spoke like this. No one has ever said these things to me. No one has ever moved me in that way. And Nicodemus was moved that night. And he comes in and he's standing before his group of ex-brothers. And he's telling them, he says, our law doesn't judge a man before it hears from him and knows what he's doing, doesn't it? And immediately they reply back, aren't you from Galilee? What are you? You're from Galilee? He said, investigate and you'll see that no prophet comes. Again, their information misled them. And in their information misleading them, they missed out on the Christ. I just want to throw in a little something to say, you know what? Don't let others' information about Christ mislead you. Go to the source. Go to somebody where you see it evident in their life, where you've seen a change, where you've seen true and genuine love and service and compassion for somebody, because those are things that you can't fake for a long period of time. Those are genuine things that come out of feeling the love of Christ and feeling the duty to serve and the gift that God gives us. It's amazing. I just want to say that there's too many statements of Jesus that are being dismissed. He can't be who he says he is because of where he's from. Man, if that was the truth, then I wouldn't be doing this video right now. But we can get into that on another day. I want to close with this because I know that, man, doing this social media type stuff that our attention spans are not that long. So I really would like to close with this, is that this is probably one of the saddest endings of a chapter that I've ever read in my life. There is no conclusion. There is no reconciliation. There is just this cliffhanger. And then we move on to the next chapter, which you'll see next week. It doesn't really touch back on this from what I see. I'm left with this thought. What is it that has been your reason, your indisputable knowledge, your unknown that has stopped you from hearing what God is saying to you? I'm going to say that again. What has been your reason, your indisputable knowledge, your unknown that has stopped you from hearing what God has to say to you? Can it be as simple as that he's from Galilee? Can it be that simple to dismiss God? He's just from Galilee. He's just from Arvada. He's just from Aurora. He's just from wherever you're tuning in from. One resource said this, and bear with me. He said, to hold to this sort of reasoning, these critics had to ignore Jesus' many miracles, some of which they no doubt had seen with their own eyes or heard credible reports of. They had to dismiss Jesus' powerful teaching, which even the arresting officers admit is like no other teaching that they've ever heard. They had to shrug off Jesus' astounding claims, such as the one he just issued, to be able to give rivers of living water to all that believed in him. But the truth is, they weren't interested in believing in Jesus. If they had been interested, they could have cleared up the question of his origins very easily, but they didn't want to believe. They just wanted a comfortable excuse to reject him. I want to ask you some hard questions right now. I don't know where you're at in your faith. I don't know where you're at in your struggles right now, in your heart or in your immediate surroundings, in your family. But I want to ask you something. Are you interested in Jesus? Or is your comfortable excuse enough for you? Will you just shrug off his astounding claims? Will you ignore the very works of God that are before you? I'm not talking about what he did in the Bible. I'm talking about what you're seeing right now. The love that's being manifested. The joy that's being shown. The sacrifices that are being made by some people across the world. I want to say this. that I don't want you to come to Jesus because you're scared. Because when your comfort returns, you're going to bail. I want you to come to God because of the works of love that are being done. I want you to come to God because of what He's doing in your heart right now. I want you to come to God because I want you to feel peace. And I want you to feel what it's like to be embraced, to be loved. I want you to come to Jesus because He will be what it is that sustains us through this time. God, I just want to thank You for this time, Lord. God, I want to thank You that even in the midst of what we're going through right now, God, even in the midst of uncertainty, that You are still God. And I'm fighting to believe that, God, but I'm going to keep proclaiming it. I'm going to keep saying it with everything that I have, and I'm going to keep pushing forward, Lord. And God, I just want You to embrace me, my family. I want to embrace those that are hearing this right now, God, and just give them a peace that doesn't make sense. And that seems to be the mantra lately, is that I want a peace that just doesn't make sense. God, I want to feel Your arms around me in a way that when I'm connecting with other people, they feel Your arms around them. God, I want to see You move in such a way. God, I want to see You move. I want to see You move and I want to see You remove my sadness. Because I remember the other day in my sadness, I said, you know what, I just want to see You move, God. I want to see You move and know that You're using us and You're using this time, but You're not using people. This is not our opportunity, church. This is not our opportunity to shine. We've done had that. What is happening now is a tragedy, and I don't want the church to exploit this. I want the world to see the love of God lived out. Just continue to pray for everybody's sanity, for the anxiety, for the depression, for the worry, for the sadness. I speak hope and joy over all that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. I hope this time was enlightening for you as it was for me.